when they forget about it. Praise the Lord. How many of you, just before we start the recording today, how many of you are enjoying this? Thank you for this morning. And Father, we pray you speak to us this morning through your word. We pray you will challenge us. We pray you confront us. And Father, thank you that you want to release your kingdom power within us and through us to a lost world out there. And Father, I pray, Lord, that again this morning you change me, Lord. Change each one of us. Transform us, Lord, in the way that we think, in the way that we believe, in our whole outlook on life with you, Lord, in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if you read your bulletin. How many of you read your bulletin? Some of you did. It says here, the Lord is calling us to continue to seek him with all our hearts and minds. We are meeting with him in new ways, and he's revealing himself and his glory to us. God wants you to be infused, saturated, and filled to overflowing with his Holy Spirit in this season, and to cross over into fullness of his love and power. If ever we needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit, it's now. Just turn to someone and say, now. For the Lord has purposed that we cease from our own works. Listen to this. Cease from our own works. That's our own efforts. Seek him with all of our hearts and enter into his rest by faith. And as we do this, we will find ourselves doing his works by depending on the Holy Spirit's power and ability. To do what God wants, we need to hear what he is saying and therefore live by every word that comes from his mouth. We do that by reading the Bible, by praying and listening to the Spirit. Got another preacher here.
Yes.
It's great. I love it. It's all right, Fred. He doesn't bother me. The word in the Greek means a specific word, a now word. It says, take the sword that the Spirit wields, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and urgent request in the Spirit. This means as you listen to the Lord, he will speak his specific word to you and to us as a church. Once we have heard it, we will need to take action and obey that word. Speak that word and pray that word into being. This is how Jesus lived. Get this. This is how Jesus lived. Full of the Holy Spirit and full of God's specific now words. That's why he spent so much time in prayer. He spent time in prayer waiting upon the Father, because that's where he received that download from the Holy Spirit and the words, the specific things that God's going to do that day. And in that time, as he spent time praying and listening to the Father, he received the directive word and was able, through dependence on the Holy Spirit, to preach the gospel, heal the sick, and release the love and power of the kingdom wherever he went. What are you expecting him to do with you or in you this month? That was a question. What are you expecting God to do in you this month? It's worthy of asking ourselves those questions. Perhaps we should ask those questions every day. Perhaps we should ask ourselves that question every week. What are you expecting God to do this week? Because God wants us to be a people of faith that have an expectation that he is going to do something. God is always doing things, but he will only do things according to our faith in our lives, right? So if you're not expecting anything to happen, guess what?
Nothing
is going to happen. But if you start believing and expecting God to do things, that he's, as you pray, he will start doing the things that he speaks to you about. Remember, nothing will be impossible to us who believe and trust in him. Ask and receive that fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit as you devote time to the Lord in prayer and reading his word. Expect him to speak to you specifically about his purpose for you and your purpose in this church. Pause for effect. Because God has a purpose for every one of us in our personal lives and in the church. Be filled with his Spirit and his word, and you will see an incredible release of his love and power impacting many lives. Let's have an amazing, fruitful month.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And this week's deliberate mistake in the book is question number 3. But we throw those in just now, just to make sure you're on your toes, okay? So if you see a question in the wrong place, that's just to check you out. It refers to last week's passage in Matthew 7. If you come across it, you think, well, what's that got to do with? Well, it's actually connected with last week's study, but enjoy when you come to do it. Well, just come with me, please, to Acts chapter 1. We want to give some time this morning to pray and minister to people. I've entitled this morning the Kingdom of Power, the Kingdom of Power. And as we're doing this study in Matthew's Gospel, we've been hearing about how that Jesus preached the Kingdom of Heaven. He was proclaiming the Kingdom of Heaven. He was saying, "It's here, it's now, it's happening." It was actually wherever Jesus went, the Kingdom of Heaven went, didn't it? When Jesus was here on this earth, he was the full representation of the Kingdom of Heaven. He was the walking Kingdom of Heaven here on earth. And so he preached the Kingdom of Heaven. He said, it's now, it's near. And then he spoke about how to live in the kingdom. We've been looking at some chapters about how we behave, how we conduct our lives, how we live by faith, and the fruits of living in that kingdom. So we've been talking about how to live in the kingdom of God. If you've been reading through to about chapter 6, and then chapter 7, and really chapter 8 now, is about demonstrating the authority and power of the kingdom of heaven. So God wants us to know that the kingdom of heaven is where this morning? It's within you, all right? Because if you've repented from your sins and you've believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've asked him to come and reign in you, at that point, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, came to rule and reign in you. So Jesus has come to live in you through the Holy Spirit. So the kingdom of God is both amongst us, but his kingdom is in you because he's living in you now. And he's brought that kingdom to be a very powerful, the most powerful part of your life. That will dominate everything about you. That becomes everything. We seek first his kingdom, don't we? And his righteousness. And then all the things that we need in life will be added to us. That's God's promise to us. And so Jesus is wanting to speak to us. The Holy Spirit wanted to talk to us this morning about how that Jesus demonstrated the kingdom of heaven. He demonstrated the kingdom of power. So the kingdom of heaven living in you this morning, Jesus Christ living in you this morning, brings you through the Holy Spirit his power. And we sometimes think that because he was the Son of God, which he was, because he had no sin in him, which is true, we somehow think that he had everything easy, but he didn't. In fact, he had things actually tougher than you and I do, because the fact is he had to constantly fight or battle against, stop sin from entering his life. But he never sinned. He never gave way to temptation, never gave way to testing. And he was totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes I think we think that Jesus was like a robot, you know, under heaven, and everything happened. The power of God was just released, and people were healed, and demons came out, and miracles happened. But actually, they only happened because Jesus knew that in and of himself, he could do nothing. Is that an amazing thing? That the Son of God, who came from heaven, was God and man, and yet totally dependent as a man upon the Holy Spirit. Amen. And that's why he waited. He waited because it was the Father's plan. He waited till the age 30, had to wait to then to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's amazing as well, Amen. Actually, that he lived up to that point without being saturated, if you like, infused, filled with the Holy Spirit. Amazing. And so when he was 30, he got baptized. John baptized him and came up out of the water, and it says like a dove appeared over his head and a voice spoke. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all together. And this voice said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. I've found delight in him." And he set his seal upon him, and the Holy Spirit filled him at that point. And as we read about it, his first challenge wasn't to go and preach. His first challenge was to go into the wilderness, where he was tested and tempted for 40 days. He ate nothing. It says at the end of that time that he was hungry. I bet he was. During that time, he faithfully opposed every attack and every testing, every temptation of the devil who came against him. And Jesus, if you like, he broke through. He overcame those temptations, and he was now ready to perform and to start his ministry. And his ministry was totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm trying to get through to you today. So if we're going to be successful as men and women of God, young people of God, we need to be dependent upon the Holy Spirit, don't we? We need to be full of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Acts 1 verse 8, we all know this very well. But I wonder how well we know him. I wonder how well we really know his power. It says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be what? Witnesses. What is a witness? Someone who? Someone who sees? Reports? Testifies? Speaks? Is an example? Saw what happens? Gives evidence? What else? Testifies? So far, this is all to do with what we speak, which is very important. That's all part of our witness. So what's the other half of our witness? Do it. Do it. Go on. Give someone a nudge in their ribs. Say, do it. Do it. See, it says, you shall be my witnesses. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And what Jesus had in mind when he spoke this word to the disciples was that the Holy Spirit would enable them to speak because of the power of the kingdom that was inside of them, but he would also enable them to do it. This is really important. I've been brought up in a evangelical tradition as a young boy, evangelical church. They preached the word, but they didn't do a lot of it. Right? I'm just talking about my experience. There was great teaching. It was very accurate. Most of it was. Some of the things about the Holy Spirit weren't so good. But I was brought up with that kind of teaching. But there wasn't a lot of doing it. And about 16-ish, when I got baptized with the Holy Spirit, my life changed. And then I had to stop judging everyone for all the things they weren't doing. But I knew what God was doing in me, and I knew that he'd called me to be a doer of it. And so the Holy Spirit wants us to be both proclaimers, witness about Jesus, but the kingdom within you is a kingdom of power, so we've got to do it as well. And I believe that to be a true witness, we have to speak the word, and we have to do it as well. Isn't that right? Preach the gospel about Jesus Christ and then demonstrate his power. That's what the word is saying here. Demonstrate his power. And when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. And they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, Andrew, and the whole bunch of them went up there. And these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. That's urgent requests to God. They were praying for the Holy Spirit to come. With the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And if you go to chapter 2, this is after... Remember, about a number of days after they'd been praying like this, seeking after God, that the Holy Spirit fell on them. They got filled with the Holy Spirit. They had a power encounter. The kingdom of heaven came in power, to both upon them and on the inside of them. And that day, all of them were transformed. They were changed by the Holy Spirit's power. They were changed by this meeting with God. And... Chapter 2 and verse 41, they've received this baptism in the Holy Spirit. Some said they were drunk, some said they were filled with new wine. But they had such a powerful experience of God's love being poured out in them. You couldn't stop them telling people about who Jesus was, why he died on the cross for their sins, and how he'd risen again from the dead and gone back to heaven, and how that the Holy Spirit coming was a demonstration that Jesus was alive. And... In verse 41, then those who gladly received the word, this is the word that Peter was preaching about Jesus, were baptized, and that day about 3,000 were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, in fellowship, sharing of life, it means together, in the breaking of bread, that's meals together, and communion,
and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Amen. And all who believed were together and had everything in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. And continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, having meals together, being around one another's homes, sharing life together, that they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved.
Hallelujah.
This was the church now filled with the power, the kingdom power of God. Amen.
Amen.
And the Lord's saying to us, as you continue to seek me, as we continue to go through the Matthew's gospel and read about the things that Jesus did, how that he demonstrated the kingdom of power. He was full of that kingdom of power, and that power went out. So when he spoke, things happened.
Amen.
And God wants to bring us, is bringing us into a place where when we speak, things happen. When we pray, and when we go out about our daily duties, when we speak, things will happen. Amen.
Amen.
And God wants a church like that. God wants us to be a body of people that when we speak, when we come back here on a Sunday every week, we couldn't stop the faith reports coming back of this person that has got healed, and this person that got saved, and that family that got touched, and that person who was in desperate need, how the help came to them as well, how that the person who had no money was given money, you know, gifts to help them on their way. And that's, to me, that's the demonstration of the power of the kingdom that we have, isn't it?
Amen.
God wants to see this outworked in our lives, outworked in our communities, and outworked in this church. Just come with me to 1 John, letter of John. That's at the back of the, right towards the end of the New Testament. 1 John and chapter 4 and verse 4. Hallelujah. It says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is what? Is greater than he who is in the world." So the one living in you today is greater than what's going on out there. The, Jesus Christ, the Lord, is living in you today through the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Jesus, if you've received him as your Lord, he's living in here. He's living in you. And it says, "Greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world." And it's the greater one that the world needs to see. They don't just need to hear about him. They need to see him. They don't just need to hear about him, they need to hear and see a demonstration of that power at work. Is that right?
Amen.
Because then God will catch their attention, because they'll see there's something different about you. They'll actually see it upon you. They'll see that anointing of the kingdom of power that's actually living in you. And then let's go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians, this is just back a few pages. This letter that Paul wrote, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. I remember when we had an outreach just this last year in the bandstand, a Hindu young man came up, and I think I'd actually said it at the time. I said we proclaimed the gospel that day on that Saturday. I remember preaching the gospel and saying, if any of you want to know about Jesus, please come up to the bandstand. Well, typical English people, you know, they don't normally do that. In Africa they would, but here they don't. Now, there was this Hindu boy, young boy in his probably late teens. He came up, I saw him on his bike, and he went to the bandstand. And one of you came up and said, "Look, he wants to talk to you about Jesus." And I remember talking to him and explaining to him about the Lord, and he said, "I've been asking God to make himself real to me." What a great opportunity.
Yeah.
And I shared the simple gospel message with him. Simon remembers that. And I remember just saying to him, "Would you let me pray for you?" Now, he wasn't ready, actually, to give his whole life to Jesus, but we shared the gospel with him. But I remember, I said, "Let me just pray for you." And as I reached out, I just put my hand very, very gently on his head. Very gently on his head. I said, "Let me just pray for you, that Jesus make himself real." And somewhere during those first 30 seconds, he went flat on the deck. He went backwards, and someone, was it you? Someone yes. caught him from banging his head on the lampstand. You were there, weren't you? And when he came up, his eyes were like flying saucers. He didn't know what had happened. And I said to him, "That was Jesus who touched you just there. It wasn't me, it was Jesus demonstrating to you that he loves you and he's called you and he's chosen you. If you hand your life over to him, he'll completely transform your life. Demonstration. Now, I'm not suggesting that we do that in every case, because it won't happen in every case, because the Holy Spirit doesn't tell you to do that in every person. But we need to listen to the Holy Spirit when we're witnessing to the lost, don't we? So that there's a demonstration of his power. And it says here in Colossians 2 and verse 6, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Listen to this, verse 9. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Christ, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you, listen to this, you are complete in him.
Hallelujah.
I don't know if you believe that this morning.
Yes.
But God sees you, if you're born again, if you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord, he sees you as complete in him.
Amen.
Now, for most of us, it's kind of a catch-up time. Because the moment we get born again, God says, right, you're complete in me. As far as I'm concerned, if you die today, you can come to heaven. Because you're born again, you've been forgiven of your sins, you've repented, you've been forgiven of your sins, and now you are complete in Christ and you can come to be with me. Except I've got a work for you to do here before you do. And our journey as believers, as Christians, is to discover who he really is.
Yes.
Find out more about him and discover who we really are.
Yes.
As believers in Christ.
Amen.
As Christians. Christian means Christ in. Christ is living in you.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is living in you. And it says here, lost my place now, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. Just say, I am complete in him. Nothing broken.
Nothing
missing.
Nothing missing.
I am complete.
In Christ Jesus.
I'm complete in my mind.
I'm
complete in my emotions.
I'm complete in my body.
I'm complete in my spirit.
And I'm complete in my spirit.
I am complete in him.
I agree with you.
Because that's what God's word says. You are complete in him, and he is the head of all principality and power. He's in charge of the whole spiritual realm. He's over everything. Demons as well. He's over the whole lot. Demons are way below him. They're fallen angels, fallen spirits. But Jesus is the head over all the spiritual realm. He's the highest. There's no name above his name. And you are complete in him. Okay, are you ready?
Yes.
So let's go to Matthew's Gospel in chapter 8. And this is what we're looking at this week, of course, in our various groups and together. And just before we say, you know, some of you this morning, God wants there to be a complete turnaround for you. There's some here this morning, God wants to give you a complete turnaround in your life. Whether you believe in the Lord yet or not, God wants to turn your life around. And if you'll trust him, he will. It's like you're in a spin. It's like you're completely almost dazed, really, because of things that have happened. But God says, I will rescue you out of that disturbance that's been in your life. And he wants you to really know his kingdom power in your life. He wants you to walk in him, complete in him.
Amen.
Amen. There's hope where the Lord is concerned. He has a hope and a future for you.
Hallelujah.
And he wants to straighten some things out for some of you this morning. He wants to get things straightened out. He wants to deal with darkness. He wants to remove darkness and let his light come very powerfully into our spirits, into our lives, so that we're walking in the light. And see, that. So the Lord is concerned for us. If there's any here that don't know the Lord Jesus, he wants to do a work in you. He wants to demonstrate his power in your life. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be forgiven. He wants you to walk in his purposes.
Amen.
And for those that do believe in him, he wants to straighten us out. He wants to remove darkness and those hidden areas where we haven't perhaps given to him. He wants to set us free.
Amen.
Because his word says you are complete in Christ. So we just need to let God have his way with us and let that completeness be worked in us. Amen. And it says here in chapter 8, that was for free, that one. It says here in verse 1, it says, when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now, as we read this passage this morning, I want you to put yourself in the place of Jesus. I want you to imagine that you are, it's you now. It's not Jesus, it's you, but you've got Jesus living in you. I want you just to imagine that. This is what I do when I read the Bible. Quite often I put myself in the place of Jesus. Okay, so just imagine that just for a moment. If you are willing, you can make me clean. This is a man with leprosy. This is a man with severe leprosy. It's a horrible disease. And Jesus put out his hand and touched him. So he touched him. That's the first mistake we would say in our mind. Don't touch him. Don't touch him. He's got AIDS. Or, you know, she's got this infectious disease. Don't touch him. But Jesus broke all the rules. Because he knew the kingdom of power that was on the inside of him had greater power than the sickness and disease. It was John G. Lake, back some years ago. He's gone to be with the Lord now. Great preacher. It was him who realized that when he laid his hands on the sick and there was a plague, was it the bubonic plague? When that was happening and he laid his hands, he knew that those diseases had to die. The moment he touched them, the Spirit of God in him destroyed the disease that was operating in people's lives.
Amen.
And he challenged the doctors of his day, to look at this disease under a microscope and did the same thing and laid his hands, I think, on the microscope. And the same thing, he said, you'll see that bacteria die. Wow, that's walking in confidence. That's walking in the power of knowing who's living inside of you. And God is wanting to encourage us as Christians, as believers, and as a church. We don't realize how much we have. When Jerry and Rose and Julian went off to Uganda, they basically gave out what they had. And more. And we don't always realize just how much we have. And John G. Lake discovered, or he already knew, that what he had was the power of the kingdom on the inside of him. And you've got the same power on the inside of you. And so when you're confident about who's living on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit will direct you to do things that you would not normally do.
Amen.
And there and then, it's up to you whether you obey him and reach out and touch that person or speak that word or do that crazy thing that you wouldn't normally do and see the demonstration of God's kingdom come when you do it. And this is what happened here. I am willing, he said, I am willing, be cleansed. And he touched the leper. Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. Immediately.
Hallelujah.
Immediately, he was cleansed right through his whole body. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Now, part of the whole point of Matthew's gospel is that, and in Jesus' ministry, was to demonstrate, firstly to the Jews of his day, that he was the Christ, he was the Messiah. And there's a constant reference to the Old Testament prophesying about him and the things that he would do. So when you're reading Matthew's Gospel, keep that in mind, that Jesus is constantly proving, if you like, his messiahship, proving that he is God, proving that he is the coming one that was prophesied in the Old Testament. Verse 5, now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Put yourself in Jesus' place. The centurion comes to you and says, my servant is sick, is unwell, is paralyzed, it says, dreadfully tormented. What would you say? I'll go and pray about it. I'll go and ask apostle or, you know, so-and-so. I'll go and ask pastor so-and-so. No, listen to Jesus' response. I will come and heal him. Confidence.
Amen.
Confidence because he knew the Spirit of God. That was it. He was not confident in himself. Jesus was confident in the one who was with him and the one who was living in him. What would you do? And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy, you should come under my roof, but speak a word only, and my servant will be healed. And if we go on to verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he said, this is amazing. I say to you, I've not found such great faith, not even in Israel, because the centurion said, I also have people working under me. And say, go, and he goes, and come, and he comes. He said, I recognize Jesus. You've only got to speak a word because you're working under the authority of someone else. Right? Working under the authority of heaven. And you've only got to speak the word. He said, I understand that because I'm a Roman soldier. I have to work under authority and it works. The authority is carried. And Jesus says to him, verse 13, go your way. That's all he says, go your way. And as you have believed, let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Wow. Yeah. Jesus demonstrating the kingdom power that was at work within him for healing. Amen. Let's go to verse 14. Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother, that's the mother-in-law, right, sick with a fever. So what did he do? He touched her. Listen, there's sometimes we add things where God never says to us to speak, or sometimes we just need to touch somebody. That's confidence. That's faith. And it says that Jesus touched her hand and the fever left her. That was it. Done. I believe that hundreds, perhaps thousands of miracles happened and no one ever knew anything about it except that that person got healed. Jesus just simply touched them. He simply pointed his finger and the spirits came off of people. It wasn't like that all the time, but Jesus was listening to what the Holy Spirit was saying all the time, and power was coming out of him in his actions. Is this making sense? Does this make sense?
Yes.
And the Lord is encouraging us with this today. Verse 16, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with what?
A word.
With a word. Wow. Go!
Jesus' name.
No, he didn't say in Jesus' name, Marcy. It was Jesus. He just said go. That was the authority he had. And we don't always have to tag with, I'm saying this carefully, we don't always have to tag Jesus' name at the end of it to endorse it. It's good to do that, but we don't always have to do that. If we're doing it in his name, demons will recognize who we are. They'll recognize who we are. And we're doing it in Jesus. And so Jesus, it says, with a word, demons came out, demons went. When evening had come, they brought him many were demon-possessed. He cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Power, the kingdom power that's within you this morning. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Listen, I've seen spirits come out of people instantly. I've seen people healed instantly. I've seen some people taken a lot longer. Yeah. I've seen some people delivered over a period of time. And what we have to do is, when something doesn't happen quite the way that we thought, because we're all learning, right? We're all disciples in this, operating under his power. Don't get discouraged. I always make, when things aren't quite happening the way I thought they were going to happen, I go back. I go back to the Father and I pray on it some more and get further instructions. Why is this not quite happening how I thought it would, Lord? Why have we only seen a measure of deliverance over this person? And listen to what the Holy Spirit says, because he'll always say something. He'll always give some direction as to perhaps something that we're doing wrong, something we've missed, something he's actually wanting to do in that person's life. Does this make sense? So we need to seek God, listen to what he has to say, share it together, you know, get with someone else, perhaps who's a little bit further on than you, and talk to them, get them to pray with you about it as well. But God wants to release his kingdom power. Because I'm not Jesus. I've got Jesus living in me, but I'm not Jesus, right?
Amen.
And we're learning. We're learning on as we go how to release the power of the kingdom. Verse 18, when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave a command to depart to the other side. Let's go to verse 23, because there's particular things I want to draw out this morning. When he got into a boat, verse 23, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Wow. What does that tell you about Jesus?
He was in
He was in peace. He may have been tired, but I believe the greatest thing, he was in peace. He knew everything was okay, because the Holy Spirit told him to go to the other side so they'd get there. And there was a great tempest. Some of you, there's a great tempest raging perhaps in your mind today. There's a great tempest. There's a storm that seems to be buffeting you. And I've got great news for you. Jesus is in the boat.
Hallelujah.
If you're born again, if you've received the Lord, he's in the boat with you. If you haven't received Jesus yet, he is concerned for you and he's watching over you, and he'll come to you if you'll cry out for him to help you. And it says a great storm arose on the sea and the waves were literally coming into the boat. They were drowning. These were fishermen. They knew what was happening. They were on Lake Victoria, right? No outboard motors. The waves were coming in. And the disciples came to him and woke him saying, Lord, save us, we're perishing. But he said to them, why are you fearful? Oh, you have little faith. Wow, what a thing to say. They're actually drowned. They've got a catastrophe. There's a trauma happening. And Jesus is actually saying, why are you fearful? Is it time to talk about this? And Jesus says, why are you fearful? Oh, you have little faith. Put yourself in Jesus' shoes now. Pretend you're in the boat with him. Pretend you're in the place of Jesus in the boat. As a storm brewing up against you to try and stop you from getting where God's asked you to go, told you to go. And he arose and rebuked what?
The winds
and the sea, the waves, and there was a great authority. What confidence he had. What confidence do you have in a storm? When something's brewing against you, it may not be an actual storm, it may be a spiritual storm against you, maybe a storm in your mind or a storm in your emotions or a storm in a relationship. But God says, stand up and rebuke the winds and rebuke the sea. Authority, speaking God's word, words of command in the name of Jesus, if you want to, right, in his name, because that's what we're doing in his name. And see the storm stilled. This morning, some of you struggle with fear. You're afraid, perhaps about your future. You're afraid that things, you can't get out of where you're at the moment. And God says to you, I've already decreed you're going to get to the other side of what I've said, what I've spoken over your life. I will get you there, but I need your agreement with me to speak my word against that storm, against that wind, against that sea, that there'll be a calm. You need to speak, you need to command. And it usually happens when you least feel like it. It usually happens when you feel most weak, when you feel most fearful, and you feel you've got nothing. That's the time when we have to stand up and say, no, I rebuke this, whatever it is. In Jesus' name, I command this storm to stop. You stand up, and it's like you have a confrontation with the devil, really, against that resistance, that standing in your way. And that's what wrestling, in Ephesians, it talks about us wrestling, not wrestling with flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against spiritual powers. That's what it's talking about. It's talking about a face-to-face, eyeball-to-eyeball encounter with the demonic realm that's trying to stop us from moving forward. Does this make sense?
Amen.
So we see the kingdom, God's kingdom power working in Jesus, and his kingdom power needs to work in us too.
Amen.
And then verse 28, when he had come to the other side, to the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. And suddenly they cried out, saying, what have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time? And a good way off from there was a herd of many swine feeding. So the demons begged him, saying, if you cast us out, permit us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said to them, go. Word of authority, go. I can imagine the Jerusalem Times the next day. Jewish bacon bankrupt. Jewish bacon company bankrupt. Because 2,000 pigs trotted over the edge of the hill into the sea. Because Jesus commanded those demons that were in those men. There was thousands of them. There was a legion of them. To come out, and they request to go into the pigs. Now, the Jews aren't supposed to eat pork. So here's some Jews trying to make a living on the side here, out of stuff that they knew they shouldn't be doing. It was against God's laws. Here comes Jesus, fellow Jew, And he comes to cast out these demons. And I reckon he had a laugh. I reckon he had a bit of a laugh, actually. When those demons begged to come out, and he said, yeah, go. And all these demons literally came out of these two demon-possessed men into these pigs, and they trotted over the edge of the cliff into the sea and were drowned. Jesus upset everybody that day. There was one man that was, two men that were happy. The demon-possessed men were very happy because Jesus made them whole. We're talking about the kingdom of power. And we're seeing that the kingdom of power heals the sick. The kingdom of power is spoken. The kingdom of power defeats Satan, casts out demons, has authority over the spirits, over the spiritual realm. And the kingdom of power even has authority over nature.
Amen.
So that's everything.
Amen.
And you have this kingdom of power living in you today.
Amen.
Amen. You've got the kingdom of power living in you today. And the Lord wants us to start believing what his word says, that if Jesus did this, we can do the same. It actually says that in John 14, that we will do the same things that he did if we will believe. So it's down to our tap being turned on. It's down to our faith being open to let him flow out of us. God wants to give you victory in your own life and then release that victory into other people's. Amen. That's why we're here. We're not here on a Sunday just to have a great word and go off and have a week all on our own, but have a great word and then put it into practice, put it into action this week. Amen? Let's all stand to our feet. Let's respond to the Lord this morning. Let's just respond to him this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just lift up your hands. Hallelujah. Let's begin to thank him this morning that his kingdom of power is within you this morning. Just begin to thank him. His kingdom of power is in you today. Just begin to thank him. His kingdom of power is in you. You may not feel it. You don't have to feel it. You just need to believe that if Jesus is living in you and he's given you the Holy Spirit, that his kingdom of power is within you. Just begin to thank him for that power of his kingdom this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise you today, Lord. We thank you for your kingdom power, Lord. We thank you for your kingdom power, the heavenly kingdom of power. The power of your kingdom, Lord, is living in me because, Jesus, you're living in me today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus wants to change your mind. Some of you this morning, he wants to change your mind. If you this morning want to, God is saying to you, I want to transform the way that you think. There's been many times when God has challenged me and said, cool, Lord, I don't think like you do. Please change me. If there's something that God has spoken to you about this morning where you just know I need to be transformed, just come forward.